Thank you for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford with The Truth Ministries. Listen every Sunday morning for his weekly message and follow him on the web at www.thetruthministries.us.
Good morning, everybody. This is David Clark back with you again to share the word here on the radio. And so excited to be here today. Looking forward to what the Lord's going to do today on the broadcast. Just pray for my voice. I preached last night at the prison, stripped it out, and I'm just dealing with that. I did some honey this morning, trying to get it back. So just pray for me. We're going to go into the Word this morning. I want to say that I'd like to welcome all our listeners today by Facebook and by the radio. I know we've got some guys at Florida State Prison that are listening, and some guys from Baker Correctional that are listening. So we want to welcome them to the broadcast this morning, as well as everyone else. And so it's just an honor to be here with you. I'll be honest with you. I had something laid out to share today. And as usual, whenever I think I've got the mind of God and I think I've got, you know, what God wants me to say, he changes plans. He changes things around, and then he tells me what he wants to do. And so that's what we want to do today. We want to do what God wants us to do, because that's what's going to help you. That's what's going to make the difference, is if God accomplishes what he needs to do and we just be obedient to that. So I'm going to shoot from the hip today, and you just pray for me, pray for my voice, that God will help me. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 14, first of all, and we'll be skipping around some different chapters here in the New Testament, John chapter 14. I'm going to start with verse number 15. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's pretty simple and straightforward, isn't it? 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." I like that word, abide with you. 17 says, "Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." I love that. Jesus talking, saying, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Hallelujah for that. "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Boy, I love that word this morning. Talking about the Comforter today, the Holy Ghost of God. Now, you may call him Holy Spirit. You may say Holy Ghost. I like saying Holy Ghost. That's because what the word says. I like calling him what his name is, Holy Ghost. You know, and I know people think it's more formal and proper to say Holy Spirit, but I just like it. I like calling him what his name is. The Bible calls him the Holy Ghost. And so we're talking about the Comforter today. We're talking about the Holy Ghost of God and his purpose and the promise of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to warn you this morning, I'm 152% Pentecostal, and I feel every percent of that in my body this morning. My spirit, I feel it. I'm so thankful today for the Spirit of God, because what he does for us and how he helps us. And be very careful when you refer to him. He's a he, not an it. He's a he this morning. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. He is the third person of the Trinity this morning, and he has a job to do. He was sent here for us to complete a mission by God. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. So I want to talk to you this morning on the Comforter, on the Holy Ghost of God. Now, we know that we are saved through the blood of Jesus, and that is the first work. When we're saved, we're born again, we're brought into the family of God, and we know that subsequently to salvation, or their second work is we're also sanctified by the blood of Jesus. That is, we are set apart from this world. We are put aside, and we are separated and made into a different species of individual. We're not the same as we was before we were born again. The Bible says, "Come out from among the world." touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We have to be a separated people. Sanctification is, simply put, it is us separating ourselves from this world so that we are known as His. We are known as His. Now, a lot of folks, they want to get extreme on one point of sanctification, whether it be something they won't do somewhere they won't go, or something they won't wear, something they won't say. But sanctification is so much deeper than that. It is inside, outside, upside down, inside out, separated unto God, sanctified unto Him for His purposes. It is declaring in ourselves, and God sanctifying us through the blood of Jesus, and us sanctifying ourselves from this world, separating ourselves so that the world knows that we're separate, and so that Jesus can tell. We can't be the same. This isn't the message. I'm just going to say it because it's good anyways. We can't be the same as this world. We can't talk the same as the world. We can't look the same as the world. We can't go to the places and cheer for the things that the world cheers for, because we're not the world. We are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ, the spotless, sinless bride of Christ that is set apart and sanctified unto Him. I'm going to tell you something this morning. When my wife and I were engaged to be married, if I had found out that she had been out running around with other men in this world and acting in a way that was unladylike and ungodly and all that, there would not probably have been a wedding before she and I had a come to Jesus meeting. If I had found out, or if she had found out that I was not acting like a man of God and I was doing things that were ungodly and that goes against our wedding vows we were going to take, there would have been a problem there. Why? Because whenever we committed to each other, we withdrew ourselves from the rest of this world. We separated ourselves and said, I belong to you. We're going to take vows and I'm yours and you're mine. It's the same way when we're born again. Before we can be filled with the Spirit of God, we must be sanctified. We have to separate ourselves from the world. God looks on us as His bride, the Jesus' bride. We're the bride of Christ. We're the church, the spotless and sinless church that has been set apart to receive all of heaven, to be present at the wedding supper of the Lamb. No sin can abound. No ungodliness can abound. It has to be holiness and righteousness and purity. That is what Jesus is coming back for. And the blood of Christ is sufficient enough to cleanse us from all of our sins. It cleanses us to the point to where we are sanctified, holy. Listen, you can be sanctified. You can live a holy life. It's possible. Jesus said we can do it. The Bible says we can do it. And He'll accept nothing less. He's coming back for a sanctified church today. He's coming back for a church that is set apart unto Him. Now, after sanctification, we see that the third work here, in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read some of it. It talks about when the Holy Ghost came and what the purpose of the Holy Ghost is. And that's what we're talking about this morning, is the Comforter. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the Comforter today, the Holy Ghost of God. John 14:18, we read, He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He's letting us know that, listen, I'm going away. You're not going to see me anymore, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to send you a Comforter. Now, there's something I'm going to get to later in this broadcast that I want to remind you about, and that's that the Comforter is here. We have the Comforter today. Let's read Acts 1:8. Let me turn over here to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse number 8. Let's read this together. I'm excited about the Holy Ghost this morning. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Listen to what He said. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Scripture states here that word witnesses unto me. The Holy Ghost is given to empower the believer, number one, to be a witness of Jesus Christ, to let this world know that, listen, you can't see Him in person anymore, but He's not gone. He's still here. The Holy Ghost of God, the third person of the Trinity, is still here. He's dwelling inside this temple. The Bible says the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So the Spirit of God, He's indwelling inside of this temple. people this morning. Jesus is not gone. He sent the Comforter. The Spirit of God is here, and he's living inside the believer that has been baptized in the Holy Ghost. We have a Comforter today. Now, what does that mean for you and I? He says, you'll be witnesses. Listen, both in Judea and Jerusalem, and all the Judea and the Samaria, and to unto the uttermost part of the earth. He said, you're going to let the far corners of this earth know that Jesus is alive, and that he's real, and that his power is matchless, and that he's coming again. You're going to let them know. You're going to be witnesses unto me, not just declare the story of what happened, but we're a living epistle, a living witness to the world today, to let them know that Jesus Christ is alive and he's living inside of us. We are the embodiment of Jesus Christ in this world. We are the body of Christ, you understand. The Holy Ghost lives in us, and he's witnessing to this world through us of the realness and the power of Jesus Christ this morning. The Holy Ghost's job is to witness Christ, to declare Christ to this world through you and I. Now that comes with us having being prepared for the indwelling of the Spirit, salvation. And then, as we talked about, sanctification and being set apart from this world in the school of Christ that we're going to go through in my Sunday school class. Brother Clendenin talks about God not filling an old vessel with new wine. He won't do that. For us to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to have the indwelling of power, we got to be a clean vessel. We got to be sanctified and holy and set apart unto God. And then God will pour the anointing and the Holy Ghost into this vessel. We must be separated unto him and ready for his use. But he said, if we'll do that, he said, after that you shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Friend, we were saved to be filled with the Spirit of God. We were not saved just to be a church attender. We were not saved just to be someone that says that we're a Christian. We were saved to be filled with power. We were saved for that third work. We were saved. Of course, God wants to sanctify us, and we must be sanctified. But God wants to fill us with the power of the Holy Ghost. I was talking to a friend at work the other day, talking about the baptism. And you know, they know someone that was in a different denomination. And they came up, and they recognized later on in life, they said, you know, I always knew there was more to it than just being saved. I always knew. And what that realization was, is that there's deeper depths to go to in God. There's higher heights to achieve in God, and that is the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Now, why is all this important this morning? Why am I getting so excited over the Holy Ghost? Well, I want to tell you this morning that he helps us in so many ways. He serves a purpose that we cannot possibly even comprehend. The Holy Ghost was given to us to be a comforter. He was given to us to endue us with power, to make us witnesses into this world. We need the Holy Ghost this morning. The church of Jesus Christ in this last hour, we must be a church that is filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. There is no other option. We must be endued with power. Now listen, I talked to y'all last week. Y'all know the message of how I said we're fighting a spiritual warfare. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and all that. I read that and I preached my guts out on here about all that. And now this morning I'm coming back to you to let you know that if you want to win this warfare, if you want to overcome the devil, if you want to have power to fight, power to be anointed, and power to declare Jesus Christ, the way that you're going to have that is through the Holy Ghost. The way that we pray for the sick and they recover is through the Holy Ghost. The way that we rebuke the enemy and he has to flee is through the Holy Ghost. The way that we claim our loved ones and we pray for their salvation and we watch God get a hold of them is through the The power of the Holy Ghost. We need the baptism in the Holy Ghost this morning. I could tell you so many times in my life where someone prayed for me. I could tell you times where I heard my mother praying in the end of the house. I could tell you times when I've been in prayer meetings and I've heard folks interceding and I've heard the Holy Ghost praying through them. Listen, I'm going to read something here in Romans chapter 8 in just a moment. But I've heard folks praying so many times and the Holy Ghost would pray through them, and I would watch God as he would come on the scene and intervene. Listen to what Romans 8:26 says. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There are times in my life whenever I've been praying and I've been at my wit's end, I didn't know what to do, and I've had no words to come to my mind to even say to God to try to get a prayer answered because of the weight of the situation, because of the severity of the situation. I feel the Holy Ghost in this booth this morning, just so you're aware of that. I'm talking about him today, and he's here. He wants to help somebody. I'm telling you, there's been times where I've been praying and I could not get a prayer through, but suddenly the Holy Ghost would come upon me, and the Holy Ghost would begin to pray with groanings which cannot be uttered. And the scripture that says, I will not leave you comfortless. He's not lying to us, folks. He sent us a comforter. The Holy Ghost of God will intercede for us, and he'll pray when we don't have words to say. And he'll declare the word of God when we don't have words to say, when we can't really recognize what we even need to pray for. You ever had a burden to pray? You ever had a burden to reach out and to get a hold of God, something gripping your heart, and it was so strong you didn't even know what to do? You didn't even know how to act. You didn't know what to pray. You just go to prayer, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost just comes over you, and you just groan in the Spirit, and you just wail and cry. The Holy Ghost knows what we have need of. He knows this morning how to pray. He knows what we need before we even ask this morning. Jesus knows. He's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost today. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And when we have a need, we can pray, and the Holy Ghost will pray through us. He'll intercede through us, and he'll always pray the will of God for our lives. We need the Holy Ghost this morning. Somebody say amen to that. Romans 8:26 declares, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. And this leads me to a very important point in the sermon this morning, in the teaching, because right now there's such a big discussion over problems in the ministry. There's such a big debate over people suffering things in the church. And just recently, now, I don't want to, this is too soon. I want to be very delicate here and not as to offend anyone. But very recently, there was a report of a pastor in the full-time ministry, pastor in a church, dealing with depression and anxiety. And he succumbed to the suppression and anxiety, and he took his own life. A few moments, he was in the hospital a little while, maybe a day or two afterwards, and he didn't die immediately. And then he passed on into eternity. And right now, there's folks that are giving him accolades and saying, you know, that he's resting in the arms of Jesus, and he's, you know, that he made it to heaven and all that. Now, listen, I'm not here to be anybody's judge. I don't know what happened from the time he tried to take his life to the time that he slipped out of here. God could have very well dealt with him. He could have made things right. I don't know that. And I'm not here to declare to you what happened during that time. I want to deal with the root cause of the issue. And that is this morning, that you and I are susceptible to the afflictions of this flesh. We are. We're human. We walk in a mortal body. We're susceptible to diabetes, and we're susceptible to problems against our mind, and we're susceptible to sickness and disease because we're human. But the difference between you and I, as the church, as the body of Christ, is that we are supposed to be endued with power. We're supposed to be the church that is filled with power. We are supposed to be the ones that have the answer to a lost and a dying world, that Jesus is the deliverer. You and I are supposed to be the ones that declare to the world that Jesus can save and Jesus can deliver. We are the ones that are supposed to have the answer. Now, what type of a statement does that make about the body of Christ when our own are taking their own lives because they can't handle the stress and the anxiety? Listen to what I want to say to you this morning, that if we are really filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, we'll not have to succumb to the temptation of the devil. We'll not have to give in to the temptation of the devil. I know that we're going to battle sickness. I know folks battle anxiety. I know the devil tries to depress folks. But listen, there's a power working within us this morning that is greater than depression. Somebody help me while I preach this morning. There's a power that is working within us this morning if we've been filled with the Holy Ghost, if our name is written in glory, if we're set apart from this world, if we're one of his this morning. There's a power working behind the scenes this morning that is greater than anxiety. It's greater than oppression and depression. It's greater than suicidal thoughts. You can't convince me this morning that somebody that is filled with the Holy Ghost, that the Spirit of God living inside of them, will try to take their own life and to exit out of this thing. I just can't bring myself to believe that, because Jesus is greater than suicide. Jesus is greater than anxiety. Jesus is greater than depression. And somebody that is filled with the Spirit of Christ cannot possibly be tempted to take this own life and to try to commit suicide or murder or all kinds of other things, because the Spirit of God that dwells inside me is greater. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil will try to make us doubt and try to make us believe that the devil has power and that he can overtake us. But the scripture specifically says that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Now listen here. 2 Timothy 2:17 says, for God hath not given us a spirit of power, of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. That tells me that if there's a spirit that is working inside of an individual that wants to cause them to self-harm or cause them to harm others, it's not the Spirit of God. Now, how many know that the Holy Ghost will not share residence? My heart is not a duplex that God will sublet. It's not a duplex that God will rent out a bedroom to. God's going to fill me all in all. He'll be Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. The Holy Ghost will dwell inside this temple, but he won't rent out bedrooms in this temple. The Holy Ghost is not going to share. There have been times in my life where I've done something or I've went somewhere, and the Holy Ghost would prick my heart, and he'll say, listen, you can go, but I'm not going. I'm not going there. If you go, you're going without me. I won't do that. He won't partake in sin, friends. The Holy Ghost won't engage in sin. He won't participate in sin. He's holy, he's spotless, and he's blameless. And if you and I are filled with the Spirit of God, we're going to have to be holy and spotless and blameless. The Bible says the Spirit helps our infirmities. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit of God. We're supposed to be filled with the power of Christ. How can we, as the church of Jesus Christ, live in a way that declares to this world we have no victory over sin? We have no victory over disease and death. Now, what is a person to do tempted and feeling oppressed by the enemy? Well, first thing we have to do is we have to acknowledge that that spirit is not of God. Those thoughts are not of God. God's never going to put it in your mind to take your own life. He's never going to put it in your spirit to try to hurt yourself. Those thoughts are not from God. He's the giver of life this morning. He's the peace speaker. He's the way maker. He's the chain breaker. And so if you're thinking things that are contrary to that, it did not come from God. Every good and every pleasant thing comes down from the Father of lights. Listen to me this morning. Jesus can deliver today. The Holy Ghost can help your infirmities. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your struggles. He knows your dilemma. And he's able today to set you free. Last night, I got to hurry here for time's sake. I was in the prison preaching, and the Holy Ghost kept prompting me to deal with suicide and to deal with folks that are oppressed and depressed, to let them know that we can take authority over the devil through the blood of Jesus. And I feel that same nudge this morning to let somebody know that if you're facing depression today, if you're facing adversity in your mind today, if you're facing oppression or suicidal thoughts or feelings of worthlessness, or that nobody cares and God doesn't love you, recognize this morning that those thoughts did not come from the throne of God. Those thoughts did not come from the Holy Ghost. But there's a power that works within us this morning that we can tap into. It's the power of the Holy Ghost, that will within the middle of the will. And when he prays, brothers and sisters, things begin to happen. What do you think I need to do, Brother David? I'm glad you asked me this morning. We need to get back to the prayer closet and separate ourselves from this world and say, God, I sanctify myself unto you. I set myself apart unto you. I'm going back to the old landmarks. I'm going back to sanctification. I'm going back and rededicating myself. I need to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I need the Spirit to help my infirmities. I need the Spirit to help me and pray on my behalf. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing like the power of the Holy Ghost. There is no substitute. I got so much more here I want to read, but I'm out of time. I want to share this last thing with you about the Holy Ghost. He prompts us. He prods our heart. He can help us in our time of need, and he can help us to help others. On Thursday night, I was at my youngest son had an open house at his school. And so we went in there, and his teacher was acting kind of flustered, like she was in a hurry. And as we were leaving, I said, is everything all right? You act like something's wrong. And she said, to be honest with you, I'm trying to hurry and get out of here because my mother has been admitted to the hospital. And they think she may have a tumor. Well, just casually on my way out, I just turned around and I said, all right, well, we hope she feels better. And I walked out. I got halfway out to the parking lot and I stopped and I told my wife, I said, we got to go back. And she said, what for? I said, I just got to do something. I went back in the classroom. I interrupted her talking to somebody else. And I said, ma'am, I got to obey the Holy Ghost. He's told me to tell you we don't have hope she'll feel better. We expect God to work a miracle. We got to follow the Holy Ghost this morning. We got to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. He'll help us. We're out of time today. God bless you. Be back with us next week. We're going to be here again, Brother Ledford or myself, 8:30. Go somewhere to church this morning and worship God. Let the Holy Ghost help you in the name of Jesus.
Thank you again for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford. Please follow on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you can get information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and God bless you.